Oh, hallelujah. He is here. He is here. He is here. Hallelujah. Turn in your scripture to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. As you turn in again, it's good to see everybody here. It's good to have Ryan, Michael, and Rachel and their family here. Good to have Hannah and Caleb and Alexander with us this morning. And it's been so wonderful to have the Lewis family worshiping with us. I so appreciate that. Just good to have everyone. Amen. It's always good to have these young people sit up close like they do. That encourages me when I preach to have them right here and be such a part of our church. Amen. Get a bulletin to stay abreast of what's happening. Come early to pray. I'm just expecting already for the Lord. I don't know what's going to happen. My message keeps getting changed and all that, so I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but come early and pray, and let's ask the Lord to have his way in the service tonight. But we have the remainder of this service, and this just feels like a holy moment to me. It really does, and I just feel the presence of the Lord. We've been in this series, Knowing God Through His Names. We're going to pick back up with that this morning. Last week, I preached for communion. Really, the message was that there's all kinds of gospels out there today, but there's only the one true gospel, and it matches what you read in the book. And I am disturbed in America of how much gobbledygook is being preached and called the gospel, but it's, as Paul said, it's another gospel, which is not a gospel. And I want to be faithful this morning to preach the gospel. I really do. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? Knowing God through his names. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Verse 15. Now, before I read verse 15, I was going to remind you in the sermon, but I will right now. Remember in your Bibles, if your publisher took the pains to do it, when you see Lord with all capital letters, that is Jehovah, Yahweh, I am. That's the Hebrew there. And God said, Moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. He told Moses, I am. But this is my name forever. He's telling us this morning, I am. His name hadn't changed. I said, his name hasn't changed. And this is my memorial unto all generations. I want to preach this name this morning, Jehovah. Jehovah. And I could have said this in the message, but let me say it right now. We are accustomed in Pentecostal churches to, with the psalmist, hollering out, Hallelujah. Have you ever thought, sometimes we get a little funny, we say, Hallelujah. And you're right there, too. But have you ever wondered what that Jah on the end of Hallelujah is? Jehovah. And every time we holler out, Hallelujah, we're saying, Let Jehovah be praised. Amen. Try that for a moment. Just holler out hallelujah. Hallelujah. You just said, let Jehovah be praised. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray together. Jehovah. Father, thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. We could never have known this had you not revealed it. Now, Lord, that which you have revealed, illuminate it this morning to our hearts and minds through the preaching. May we leave here, Lord, with just something turning over in our hearts, an awareness of you like we've never had before. Help me, God, to be faithful to preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. This week, was at the college enrolling Andrew in his next semester's courses, and as we were talking to the counselor there, I noticed a plaque on the wall. And I want to preface it by saying I don't try to be critical just to be critical. I'm just always analyzing things and thinking of how they fit into the larger picture. And the plaque seemed inspirational enough. It says, "Believe in yourself. You are stronger than you think. Believe in yourself. You are stronger than you think." Now listen, I understand the need for confidence. I understand the need of a positive outlook in life. But when I look at that plaque, it seems innocent. Believe in yourself. You're stronger than you think. But when I look at it, what I'm seeing is just another example of trying to make a go of it without God. This is what our world's been being taught, our society. Believe in yourself. Amen. It makes man reliant upon himself, dependent upon no outside help. And in the end, it makes man his own God. Believe in yourself. When I read that plaque, I thought, is this what we have come to? Believing in self instead of believing in God. I know that's a public place, a public education. I know all that, but I'm talking about it being symptomatic of the larger condition of our society. Is this what we've come to? Instead of believe in God, put your trust in God, we've come to believe in yourself. I followed that with this question. Is that really what we want? Do we really want to be left on our own with just ourselves to live in a world without God? Is that really what we want? What if Moses had went to Egypt and encountered Pharaoh without God, asked for the children of Israel to be delivered without God, tried to get out of Egypt without God, tried to cross the Red Sea without God, tried to get across the wilderness without God, tried to get in the land of Canaan without God? It wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have worked. Even I've got better admonition. Instead of believe in yourself, believe in Jehovah. Wednesday night, I was preparing for the service in here, but you know, I was just leaving the prayer room and it hit me like a bolt of lightning. People don't know who they are because they don't know who God is. That's why we're having the crises that we're having. People don't know who they are because they really don't know who God is. Aren't you glad through special revelation? Aren't you glad that through His name, God has let us know who He is? And I'm preaching this morning, God says, I am. He says, I am. Those two words changes who we are and what we can become and what we can do. Amen. Because He said, I am. I'm a long ways ahead of myself, but I'm telling you, He is what I'm not. He can do what I can't do. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad I don't have to believe in myself, and neither you? We can believe in the great I am, Jehovah. Now listen, I'm already getting worked up, but I'm going to tell you to get the real significance of the name Jehovah, God's name Jehovah. We're going to have to deal with some important matters first. Number one, the properness of the name, this name. The properness, this name for God that I read to you from Exodus, this name Jehovah, is mentioned the most often in Scripture. 6,823 times in Scripture, God is known as Jehovah. Amen. It's His name, the name He gave Himself. Now, we've already discussed some of the names of God. We've discussed El. We've discussed Elohim. We've discussed El Shaddai. We've discussed Adonai and been blessed by those names of God. But listen to me. This name is different. This name, Jehovah, is different. And it's different in this sense. Jehovah is God's proper name. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I'm called by a lot of names, and I'm sure there's some I don't want to know, but I'm called by a lot of names. Amen. Just a few. I'm called pastor. I'm called dad. I'm called granddad. I'm called preacher. I'm even called honey. Amen. I'm called by a lot of names, but none of those are my proper name. My proper name is Clifford. Amen. I have many names, but I have only one proper name. God has many names, but He only has one proper name. He is El. He is Elohim. He is El Shaddai. He is Adonai. He's all of those, but His proper name is Jehovah. Amen. He told us that. Secondly, we need to deal with the pronunciation of the name. We have trouble on this name of God knowing how to pronounce it. And one of the reasons we have trouble pronouncing this name of God is from the beginning when the people of Israel were told by God that His name was this, they had a reluctance to ever say His name out loud. They would not pronounce His name. They would read it in Scripture and not pronounce it. And here's one reason why. Amen. Through Moses, the children of Israel were told in Leviticus 24, he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, see it is all capital letters, all uppercase, he that blasphemeth the name of Jehovah, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of Jehovah, he shall be put to death. Amen. And literally, this says, whosoever names the name of Jehovah. Now, you got to understand something. One of the Ten Commandments they were just given was, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And now they're told, if you blaspheme His name, if you take His name in vain, they're to take you out and stone you. So it's no wonder that the Israelites had a reluctance when they came across this name. They had a reluctance to say it out loud. In fact, we've heard that when scribes were copying scriptures, they didn't put them on copy machines. They had to take quill and ink and copy them on parchment and papyri and different things. But every time they came to this name, they would rise, take off their clothes and bathe, put on new clothes and get a new quill. Amen. Because this name is holy. Why? It's not just another name of God. It's His proper name. And God is great. And God is holy. And God is tremendous. And they have this reluctance. I want to contrast their reluctance to even pronounce the name out loud with Christians today who are so flippant with God's name. I'm not on a soapbox, but I'm telling you, if we don't use God's name, we use a euphemism. And even Christians go around saying gosh and golly and gee whiz and Jesus and all this. And we just flippantly use the name of God. Amen. You say that doesn't matter. Well, you can figure that out on your own. All I know is His name needs to be respected because He is to be respected. His name is holy because He is holy. There's none like unto Him. There's none compared to Him. There's none besides Him. Oh, hallelujah. He's great. Even they had a reluctance to pronounce His name. But there is another difficulty. I don't know Hebrew, know very little about it. I know Greek, not Hebrew. But in Hebrew, they spelled their words without vowels. They would just give the consonants. There were no vowels in a word. Now, that can be a problem. Now, if we have this next slide, what you're seeing at the top, of course, these are English transliterations of the Hebrews written with the different, completely different formation of the characters. But if, and by the way, it's read from right to left too, but this has been Englishized. And for our sake in English, the Hebrew would have been YHWH. Now, there's no vowels there. So how do you pronounce it? Especially when dad reads it in the Bible, he didn't pronounce it, and mom didn't pronounce it. How do you know how to pronounce it? To show you what the difficulty of this is, what if I just gave you two English letters, GT, and didn't provide the vowels? You wouldn't know how to pronounce GT. It could be gat, it could be got, it could be get, it could be gut, it could be gout, it could be goat. You don't know because the vowels are not provided. And so we have this difficulty. How do you pronounce YH, WH? We don't know exactly, but we're pretty sure that YH, WH is real close to something like Yahweh, Yahweh. And so when God told Moses, I am, he said, my name is Yahweh. Why then, if he said his name is Yahweh, why then are you saying that his name is Jehovah? Well, let me try to explain that for just a moment. Since the Jews were reluctant to speak the name of God, what did they do when they came across it in Scripture? Well, they would replace it with another name of God. So even though it said Yahweh there, they would read it Adonai, or they would read it, they would say the word Elohim. So they replaced it. Well, over time, remember there's no vowels there. Over time, they replaced Jehovah so often in their reading with Adonai, and it's a little more involved in this, but I'm giving you the simplistic explanation this morning. I'm not going to talk about the Masoretes and the vowel points and all that. That's for someone that knows Hebrew to explain to you. But very simply, amen, they said Adonai in the place of Yahweh so often that they eventually, when they began to say the name of God at later times, they put the vowels from Adonai into Yahweh. And if you do that in Hebrew, not so much in our English pronunciation, but if you take the vowels of Adonai and put them with the consonants of Yahweh, it comes out Jehovah, Jehovah. That's why we say Jehovah. Some people want to make the big point of this. They even started a church organization, the Church of Yahweh. They want to make a big difference of how you say it, Yahweh or Jehovah. I want to tell you something, two things. Number one, that doesn't really matter because we're really not sure how they pronounced it to begin with. And there's some real whizzes out there that think they know, but we really don't know because languages change over time. What's important isn't really how we pronounce it. What's important is where we're going to go in a minute, and that's what it means. What does Jehovah mean? You say Yahweh, you can say Jehovah. The important thing is, what did God mean when he said, I am that I am? That's important. Most of us grew up saying Jehovah. We'll leave it right there. I kept thinking of that old spiritual all week, and I heard Hannah singing it somewhere. Remember, we used to sing, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. It had a wonderful little phrase there. Anchored in Jehovah. Anchored in Jehovah. You can say Yahweh, Jehovah, whatever. But the important thing is, if you know who God is, you can anchor yourself. You can anchor your life. You can anchor your future in who he is. I keep hearing this. I don't understand it all. But I keep hearing what God spoke to my heart on Wednesday night. People don't know who they are because they don't know who God is. I'm telling you, when you begin to know who God is, suddenly you know who you are. Can you say amen? We've taken care of those important matters. Amen. Now let's move on. There's one more important matter. We're bringing it all together. There's a problem with the name beyond pronunciation. And the problem is in what Scripture says. Everybody ready to think with me for a moment? Here's the problem with the name. In Exodus chapter 6, it says this, and God spake unto Moses and said unto him, here it is, all capital letters, I am the Lord, I'm Yahweh, I'm Jehovah. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, El Shaddai. But by my name, Jehovah, I was not known to them. God said, I'm letting you know that I'm Jehovah. But unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I was not known as Jehovah to them, to those patriarchs. Now, they knew him as El Shaddai. They knew him as El. They knew him as Adonai. But Jehovah. Now, what's the problem with that, you say, Pastor? Because let's go back in Genesis where we read about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Let's go to Genesis chapter 14. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, this is Abraham, I have lifted up my hand unto what? Jehovah. What do you mean? God said I wasn't known as Jehovah to Abraham. And yet Abraham says, I have lifted up my hand unto Jehovah, Jehovah, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. How do you reconcile that? God told Moses, Abraham didn't know me as Jehovah. And yet it says right here, Abraham called him Jehovah. How do you reconcile it? Because listen, it never said that Abraham did not know the name Jehovah. God said, I was not known as Jehovah to Abraham. I revealed myself to Abraham as El Shaddai, the great provider. I revealed myself to Abraham and Isaac as Elohim, the creator. They not only knew those were my names, but they had my revelation. They had my understanding. They encountered me as the El Shaddai and the Elohim, but they had not yet encountered me as the Jehovah, the Yahweh. Amen. They knew his name, but they had not experienced him as that. Let me tell you something. You may know that Jesus, one of his names is healer, but until you've been healed, you've really not experienced him as the healer. I want to tell you, some people say, well, I know who Jesus is, I know his name. They may even so say, I know what the name of Jesus means. It means Savior. But I'm telling you, until you confess your sins, recognize what he's done on the cross, let him wash you, you can know his name, you can say his name, but you really don't know him as Jesus until he saves you. Hallelujah. Abraham knew to call him Jehovah, but Abraham hadn't been taken through the Red Sea. Abraham hadn't had manna from heaven. Abraham hadn't had the blood applied when for deliverance from Egypt. He had not known God as the Jehovah. Oh, I not only want to know what his name is, I want to know him by that name from experience, the experience that I have with him. You see, it's kind of like this. You may know that my children call me Dad. You may know that's one of my names, Dad. But unless I adopt you, and most of you are too old and I don't have enough money for you to want to be adopted, but unless I adopt you, you will never know me as Dad. You can know that's my name. Abraham called him Jehovah, but Abraham hadn't had the experience and the revelation that Moses and the children of Israel. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In that Jehovah is deliverer. You're in bondage. You're under affliction, but I'll lead you out. In that Jehovah is provision. Oh, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I want to tell you, I just don't know. Want to know what his name is. I don't even want to know how to pronounce it. I want to know by experience. I want him to be that to me. Hallelujah. And then there's the proclamation of this name. The meaning of God's name is not just in his saying, my name is this or my name is that. The meaning of his name was the circumstances and the purpose whereby God revealed that name unto his people. And so until we understand the circumstances of where God is revealed as Jehovah, we will not truly understand what God meant when he said, I am that I am. Even Moses, though a Jew, I won't go clear back to his birth, but Moses as a Jew was raised as a prince of Egypt. But Moses murdered a man, thought he could get away with it. But no, Moses is on the run for his life. He's on the run from the law. Amen. He runs into the Sinaitic Peninsula, wilderness and desert. And there in the backside of that desert, he gets married. And though he's been raised a prince, he becomes a shepherd. And for 40 years, he's isolated. For 40 years, he's in hiding. For 40 years, he does nothing but watch sheep and raise sheep. But one day, he gets close to a mountain called Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. And as he's herding those sheep, he sees a bush that's on fire, but it is not being consumed. Anybody knows that's supernatural? Anybody knows there's something going on here? Amen. Flames like that, and yet the bush's limbs are still intact. It's not being consumed. And the Bible said that the Lord appeared unto Moses in that bush that burned with flame and was not consumed. Moses then said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Oh, I told myself I wouldn't preach here, but I got to. It's one thing for God to show you a burning bush, and it's another thing for you to say, I will now, whatever else I'm doing, wherever else I am in my life, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Hear what God is speaking. See what God is doing. Moses turned and began to draw close to that bush, and God spoke to him and said, Moses, come not nigh, even, but take off your shoes, for the place wherein you stand is holy ground. Amen. Moses took off his shoes, not just so he could feel God through the ground a little stronger. No, that was a custom in that day. When you made a pact, when you made a covenant, amen, you put off your shoes, the other put off their shoes, and then you stepped into one another's shoes. And in a sense, what God was saying, take off your shoes, Moses. This is holy ground. I'm going to make a covenant with you. And Moses, what I'm going to do, I'm going to step into your shoes. Amen. Don't believe in yourself. Amen. Believe in me. I'll walk it. I'll do it. I'll step into your shoes. Can you say amen? God said, Moses, I want to know something. I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and of Joseph. And my people Israel have been in bondage for 400 years. But I've heard every cry. I've seen the burden that they're under. I know their sorrows. And Moses, I'm going to get ready to deliver them. Great God, that's wonderful. And Moses, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, the greatest man on the planet Earth, the most powerful emperor. I'm going to send you, Moses, to Pharaoh, and I'm going to send you to my people, and you're going to tell my people, amen, that I'm going to set them free from bondage. Oh, aren't you glad we got a gospel? Amen. Aren't you glad we can tell folks they can be set free from bondage? Well, that bothered Moses a little bit. And Moses said in chapter 3 and verse 11, he said, God, you're going to send me to Pharaoh? You're going to send me to tell the people of Israel they're going free? Moses, I want you to get this for later on. Moses said unto God, who am I? Oh, I said for later. Let me just tell you now. Moses says, who am I? God's going to reply. You got to get this, Moses. It's not who you are. It's who I am that matters. Oh, he's saying that to somebody this morning. You've got difficulties. You're facing things. You don't know how you're going to do it. Who am I? Who am I? But I'm going to tell you something. It's not who you are. It's who he is. He's entered into a covenant. He's entered into an agreement with his people. Does anyone feel his presence in the house? Go ahead and shout it again. Hallelujah. Let Jehovah be praised. Amen. Amen. God said, listen, Moses, I will go with you. But then Moses has another question. He says, God, when I get to the children of Israel and tell them you're going to set them free, they're going to ask me what God and what is his name said he was going to set us free. And Moses said, God, when they ask me what your name is, what shall I tell them? God said, Moses, I am that I am. That's like me saying, I am Clifford. He said, I am that I am. And when you get to them and they doubt whether you're from me or not, and they doubt whether they're coming out of bondage or not, you look at them when they say, what is the name of that God that spoke to you from the burning bush? You look at them and say, his name is I Am. His name is Yahweh. His name is Jehovah. And it's wonderful. Hallelujah. It's mighty. Hallelujah. His name, the great I Am. That is the context. Amen. That is the context. What does it mean? What did it mean to Moses? Amen. It's kind of a difficult thing to get to, but let me give you some understanding of it. Amen. The word Yahweh, Jehovah, is a being verb. It's like our verb is and are and am. That's like me saying my name is. Do you hear that? What's your name? My name is. God said, I am that I am. Now listen, knowing the Bible, this shouldn't surprise us that he would have as a proper name something that has to do with the state of being or time, because God is unaffected by time. And looking ahead in his revelation, he said, I'm not just the God that is. I am the God that was, and I am the God that is, and I am the God that shall be. When God said, I am, he said, I am always in the state of being at any of your times, at any of your places, in any of your situation. I am. Are you hearing it? I am. At that time, I am. At that place, I am. Wherever you're at, I am. It's a state. So what does it mean? It first of all means God said, I am. I exist. I exist. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. Oh, the first thing God means, I am. He exists. Aren't you glad he exists? Now, I want to tell you something. Today, like with the children of Israel, it will always appear to those that are suffering. It'll always appear to those that are in trouble. It will always appear to those that are sick that there is no God. Where is God when the car wreck happens? Where is God when I'm sick? Where is God when I lose? To those that are suffering and in pain, it always appears that God's not there. God does not exist. But God's telling Abraham, they've been in suffering. They've had their baby sacrificed to crocodiles. They've been beaten and whipped for 1,400 years. They're thinking there's no such thing as a God. But you let them know God is. Even when it hurts, God is. Even when you're sick, God is. He's right there. Amen. I didn't do it purposefully. I just knew that when I began to service, that people needed to know it. And most of the time when I begin the beginning prayer of a funeral service, I say something like this. Oh God, I'm so glad that you're real. I'm so glad that you exist. I'm so glad there is a God in heaven. You need to know that when you're suffering. You need to know that in the struggle. He is. He is. He is. He exists. It not only means that I am, I exist. It means that I am here. God is, but he is everywhere. I want you to know this morning, wherever you find yourself, even God is saying to you, I am. I am here. In the doctor's office, you're getting the news of the cancer. But as the doctor's speaking, God says, my name is Jehovah. Right in the doctor's office, my name's Jehovah. I am here. Amen. You're leaving the boss's office with a pink slip. Amen. Just got let go. But as you're walking from that office, you hear God's voice saying, I'm Jehovah. I am here. You're sitting on the couch listening to your spouse say, I'm leaving you. I don't love you anymore. But there's another voice saying, I am Jehovah. I am here. Even you're faced with tremendous temptation at school, almost overwhelming temptation. But in the moment of temptation, you hear the voice of God. My name is Jehovah. I am here. We're seeing the world spin out of control. We're seeing the idiocy. We're seeing the perversion, the destruction of society, the worldliness of the church, the war, the sickness. But in the midst of all the clamor and all the news, if you would listen, you'd hear a voice saying, but I'm Jehovah. I am here. Amen. They marched Paul in to that Roman court, no doubt to take his life. And he said, I looked around and my comrades weren't there. My friends weren't there. The brothers and sisters weren't there. I thought I was alone. But Paul said, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. When he says, I am Jehovah, he's saying, I, in your darkest night, I said, in your darkest night, when you're fighting the turmoil of your mind, you're fighting the turmoil of your emotions, you're facing unbelievable situations, you could listen. He's saying, I am Jehovah. I am Jehovah. I am here. Jehovah means I exist. I'm here. But it also means I will be there. I told you that all the tenses are tied up into that word. And God is telling Moses, you're worried about what's going to happen when you get to Pharaoh's palace and tell Pharaoh that the children of Israel are leaving. You're worried about when you meet the elders of Israel, what they're going to say, what they're going to believe. But he said, Moses, when you walk into Pharaoh's court, I'm Jehovah. I'll be there. And when you go to the elders of Israel, I'm Jehovah. I will be there. And when you face the Red Sea, oh, come on. When it's barring your way, you don't see a way through the Red Sea. Amen. When you feel trapped in, I'll be there. And when you get out in the wilderness and there's no water, I will be there. And when you get into the wilderness and there's no food to eat, I will be there. And when you get in the wilderness and you face the enemy that comes against you, I will be there. When it's cold, I'll be there in a cloud, in a pillar of fire. Even in the daytime, in the hot sun, I'll be there. I'll be a pillar of cloud, of shade. I'll just be there, Moses. Oh, can you say amen? Amen. I'm going to deliver my people from Egypt, God said. I'm going to take them through the wilderness, and I'm going to take them into Canaan. And whatever difficulty you face, you can know one thing. When you get to that place on your journey, I will be there. I don't know what my journey's going to hold from here on out. You don't know your journey. You don't know your journey. You don't know your journey. Some of you are young. You don't know what your journey of life is. But I want to tell you, if you trust in God, if you believe in Him, you'd hear Him say, I'm Jehovah at every stage, at every place on your journey. Amen. I am Jehovah. I will be there. Hallelujah. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. My name is Jehovah. I'll be there in the pain. Hallelujah. But no, it doesn't mean I exist. I'm here. I'll be there. Oh, this is what I love. When God told Moses, when he said, tell him I am that I am, he was saying, I am what you're not. I am whatever you need for me to be. I am your way through the Red Sea. I am the bread that'll feed you. I am the water out of the rock. I am the Lord that'll fight your battles. Hallelujah. Do you hear him this morning? I'm your strength when you're weak. I'm your comfort when you're sorrowful. I'm your friend when you're friendless. I'm your way when there is no way. I'm your healing in the sickness. I'm your hope when it's hopeless. Oh, he is the I am. He'll be what we need him to be. I don't know everything I'll need God to be. I haven't faced some things yet. Amen. I haven't faced major sickness, terminal sickness in my family. But I must believe something. If I do face it, when it comes to that time, he is the Jehovah. He is the I am. He'll be at that moment what I need him to be. You need victory from temptation. He'll be that to you. Oh, hallelujah. Do you hear it? I don't have it. Amen. I want to tell you once again. People don't know who they are because they don't know who God is. People don't know how to make it because they don't know who God is. People can't see their way through because they don't know who God is. But I'm telling you this morning, he is Jehovah. He is Jehovah. He is the I am. He is what I am not. He'll be what I need him to be. Would you bear with me just a few more moments? We know what Jehovah means because of his proclamation to Moses. Hear me, hear me, hear me. But we also know what Jehovah means because God made the proclamation himself right amongst men. Jesus, God in the flesh, walked this earth. The Jewish leaders, rulers, chief priests began to needle him, try to trip him up. And right in the midst of it, Jesus, he looked at those leaders that were against him, and he looked at that crowd, and he said a remarkable thing. Now, you got to understand something. Jesus lived 1,400 years after Moses, and he lived 2,100 years after Abraham. But Jesus looked at that crowd, Brother Keith, and he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. They said, "You're a crazy man. You're not yet even 50 years old. And hast thou seen Abraham?" And Jesus looked and he said, "I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Oh, I said, "Oh, 50 years old, nothing. He's the timeless God. He's the eternal. I know he's in the flesh. I know as a human he's 50 years old. But as God, he knows no time. He is the I am." And he looked at them and said, "I am. That's who my name is." Amen. They understood. We may not get it, but they understood, because the Bible says immediately when those words came from his mouth that they took up stones to stone him. We may not understand what he was saying, but they knew exactly what Jesus was saying. He was saying, "I am Jehovah. I am God. I am the great I am." They should have known it. He'd been trying to tell them that he was the I am. Amen. He'd been trying to tell them. He said, "I am the bread of life." He said, "I am the door of the sheepfold." He said, "I am the good shepherd." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, "I am the true vine." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." They should have got it, but we get it. Jesus is the great I am. You need life, he's the resurrection. You're lost, he's the shepherd. Your soul is hungry, he's the bread. Oh, hallelujah. You don't know which way to go, he's the door. Oh, God looked at Moses through the burning bush, but Jesus looked at him through the eyes of a man and said, "I am." Oh, let's just pause to worship him, could we? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Go ahead and come, music. Hallelujah. I want to speak briefly, because I've been dealing with this the whole time, but briefly I want to speak in ending this on the promise in the name. Now, God told us his name is I Am. If we say that from our perspective, we would say he is. If God said I am, we need to say he is. So what does it mean to us? What's the promise in his name? He is wherever we're at. He is whenever we need him. He is whatever we must have, whatever we need. He is what we are not. Do you remember when I told you the story of Moses? And I said I wanted to get to it later, just briefly, I will return to it. Moses, when he was told to tell Pharaoh to lead the children of Israel out, he said, "Who am I?" You know what he was saying? "God, you're asking me to do that, but that's not me." Don't you love Moses' attitude? "Here am I, Lord. Send Aaron." Who am I? That's not me. That's not who I am. And then if you read in chapter 4, Moses elaborates on that. Who am I? He says, "I'm not eloquent." That's what he starts saying. "I'm not. I'm not eloquent. I'm not slow. I'm not able to speak. I'm slow of speech. I just can't get it out. I'm handicapped." And God said, "Don't you get it? You're telling me who you are. Whether you get this done or not isn't about who you are. It's about who I am." The whole time we're telling God what we're not, he's trying to tell us what he is. Did you hear me? I know we got hang-ups and problems. I'll deal with that briefly as I close. But he is a Jehovah. You say, "I'm not." He says, "I am." You say, "I'm weak." He says, "I'm strong." You say, "I'm unrighteous." He says, "I'm righteous." You say, "I'm poor." He says, "I'm rich." You say, "I'm sick." He says, "I'm the great physician." You say, "I'm a failure." He says, "I'm your victory." Hallelujah. 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 Jehovah, the I am. And you tie it all together. And what God was telling Moses is, "I'm entering into a covenant with you. I'm going to take you to the land of promise, and you are going to discover I am the faithful God. If I said I'm taking you out, I'll take you out. If I say I'm leading you in, I'll lead you in. I am the faithful God." Now, I'm close with this, and I really debated it, but I'm not picking fights. I'm not trying to slander, but I am so concerned when I read this book, when I say see the turns modern Christianity has taken. And you're thinking, people, did you know a lot of what is so popular to hear from religious teaching and preaching today is nothing more than modern pop psychology and philosophy with a few gospel words thrown in to fool people? And they're saying to people things they know people want to hear. And I just want you to contrast this revelation of God I am with something I'm about to share with you. If this, listen. I normally don't do this. I normally don't mention names, but I'm doing this to make a point so you can see it for yourself. If this is someone you like, I want you to really listen to what you've heard from the Word of God this morning and think honestly. Don't just react. Don't just respond and say, well, he's speaking against somebody I like to hear preach or teach. I want you to think if it's not true or not. Will you do that? Just see, is it true or not? Modern Christianity has made this thing not about who God is. They've made it about who man is. It's horizontal. It's about man. They teach people today to focus. If they're speaking to me, focus on who you are. I am to say things like, I am the child of God. And there's truth to all of this. That's what makes it dangerous. I am to say, I am a bundle of potential. I am to say, I'm a conglomerate of untapped potential. Amen. Real Christianity never makes it about who the man is. Real Christianity makes it who God is. Now, have I just preached a message about the I Am? Have you heard it? Here's a best-selling book. The Power of I Am. This isn't my message this morning, the power about God. This is about the power of an individual. This isn't about calling God the I Am. This is about calling self the I Am. I haven't read the book, but I listened to the sermon that the book comes from. And it were instructed, repeat after me. Say, I am strong. I am healthy. I am confident. I am secure. I am talented. I am creative. I am disciplined. I am focused. I am valuable. I am beautiful. I am blessed. I'm excited about my future. There's a little truth to that, but look where the focus is. It's on self. It takes the words. Here's the danger of it. It takes the words I am out of God's mouth and puts the words I am in the mouth of man. The message went on to say, if you'll say it, God will get behind it and send you what you're saying. If you say, I'm rich, God will get behind that and he'll send riches to you. That's not what Moses heard. That's not what we read in this book. Amen. And I see today in Christianity a parting of ways. Are we going to listen to the modern gospel that sounds so nice and takes a little germ of truth and appeals to the carnal nature by telling everyone? I heard other excerpts that says, look and say, I am beautiful. I am handsome. Amen. I've tried that for years. It don't work. Don't waste your money on the book. Amen. Amen. But it's a parting of ways in Christianity. Are we going to turn our attention to this man-centered gospel that's about man, his potential, his ability, his self-esteem, him having the power with his words and the power with his attitude and the power with his frame of positive thinking? He has the power to make things happen. Are we going to take that branch of Christianity where the words I am are in our mouth? Or are we going to stick with the true gospel and true Christianity where the words I am are in God's mouth? Amen. I can make it not because I said I am victorious. I can make it because he said I am your victory. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I leave the word. And listen, there is power in the I am. I said there is power in the I am. But the power's not when I speak it. The power is because God has spoken it. Even if you call him Jehovah, would you stand and praise him? Go ahead, shout it out. Hallelujah. Let Jehovah be praised. Listen, I believe in being positive and not negative. Amen. But I also believe in being realistic and truthful. Amen. I believe, amen, we don't need to go around with an inferiority complex and all of that. We are children of God. Amen. But that's not the message. The message is you make things happen by your positive attitude. You make things happen by your words. My words never made a thing happen, but God's word has. Are you hearing me? Amen. And I, you know, amen. If you want to be biblical, and we're not going to like this. Nobody here is going to like this. If you want to be biblical about saying I am, well, you try this on for size. I am. I'm talking Bible now. I am the chiefest of sinners. I am undone. I am a fallen person. I am weak. I am frail. I am sinful. I am unrighteous. I want to tell you, I'm not talking about an inferiority trip, but if I'm just being honest and recognizing my need of God in the middle of saying, I am undone, I'll hear a voice that says, I am your all in all. I am sinful. I am your righteousness. I am weak. I am strong. Jehovah. Jehovah. Amen. Do you have a special need of the Lord this morning? Do you need God to be something in your life? Would you begin to come to this altar right now? Amen. Maybe you know Him by the name Savior. You may know Him and call Him by Jesus and know Jesus means Savior, but you've not experienced that. Come know Him as Jesus this morning. Come know Him as Savior. Maybe you know He's a deliverer, but you've not experienced Him as a deliverer. Come. Come, experience Him as a deliverer. I do believe. I'm not referring to my preaching. I'm referring to the presence of God in this house. Listen to me as you come. I believe we got a burning bush in the house this morning. I said, I believe we got a burning bush. Who's going to turn aside and see this great sight and listen to the Lord speak to them? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you fill these altars? Would you talk to the great I am? Listen to Him. Listen to what He's saying. I am. What's He saying to you? I am. I am. I am your way through. I am your strength. I am your victory. I'm your shelter. I'm your warmth. I'm your armor. I am the Lord God. I'm your protection. I'm your provision. I'm your God. I am that I am. Are you listening to Him? Oh, not literally, but some need to take your shoes off this morning and say, God, I'm not doing very well at this. I need You to step into my shoes. I need You to step into my shoes. Hallelujah. Oh, let's seek Him around this room. In the presence of Jehovah.
He's God Almighty.
In the presence of Jehovah.
He's Prince of Peace.
He's God Almighty. He's El Shaddai. Prince of Peace.
Troubles vanish.
Listen. Are you listening for His voice this morning? Let Him talk to you. Listen, He'll tell you what He told Moses. I am. Oh, hallelujah.
He's God Almighty.
He's God Almighty. Just worship Him where you're at. Worship Him. Worship Him. You just tell Him as you pray, God, I want to honor You. God, I want to show reverence to You. I want to lift You up on high. I want to recognize who you're revealing yourself to be.